This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Flash flooding in northern and north-central West Virginia communities has left millions of dollars in damage to homes, businesses, and infrastructure. The rain that began on Friday resulted in high rushing waters that days later families are still trying to recover from. Eight counties are under a state of emergency, and members of the National Guard have been mobilized to deal with the damage. Much of that damage is concentrated in Marion and Wetzel counties. While official totals have not been released, the State Division of Highways estimates that each county received more than $1 million in damage to roadways. The towns of Mannington and Hundred were hit particularly hard, but as Jesse Wright reports, people in these close-knit communities rallied around each other from the moment disaster struck.
In her small hair salon on the edge of Mannington and Marion County, Laura Michael is blow-drying a customer's hair with a phone wedge between her cheek and shoulder. She's giving advice on how best to help one of the town's flood victims.
I'm a salon owner. I've been in business 36 years, and I've lived in Mannington 51 years, all my life.
Most people here have started calling Laura the foreman. That's because she's been going nonstop to help people since early Saturday morning, when Buffalo Creek broke its banks and started flooding houses and businesses in the Marion County town of about 2,000 people. Laura and her husband Bill got an automated call early Saturday morning alerting them to flash flooding in the county, but they ignored it at first because there have been many false alarms in the past and they live on a hill.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, I was woken by another phone call from my best friend. And her wanting to move her car to my home.
Laura and Bill tried to make their way to their friend's house on foot. That's when they realized how quickly the water was rising.
We've never had that much water in that community ever. And not only was it just water, it was rushing water. I mean, water that was just, it had some power behind it.
Laura's friend, Kim Harris, had watched the water creep up the street in front of her house Saturday morning and then come rushing into her basement.
It was like a river. It busted my basement door open. That's how fast it came in.
Kim ended up with about 8 feet of water in her basement, soaking many of her belongings. Kim says she was amazed by how quickly her friends and neighbors swung into action to help her and the rest of the flooded town.
You are very blessed to have that type of community to come in that fast and start helping.
Kim says her family and friends, including Laura and her husband, had her basement cleaned out, power restored, hot water heater working, and soggy drywall removed by Sunday afternoon.
Everybody was involved. And then when the word got out, you had people from Tyler County, all the other counties that come in and just start working together. And the people that have asked if we need anything is overwhelming.
Along with the National Guard and volunteers from Fairmont State University, cheerleaders and football and basketball players from nearby North Marion High School quickly fanned out across Mannington to help residents clean out flooded basements once the water receded. That same community spirit was evident 14 miles away in the Wetzel County town of Hundred, where water rose about 4 or 5 feet into homes and businesses downtown. National Guardsmen and volunteers were still dumping piles of trash and debris into trucks on Tuesday. There were several out-of-town fire engines parked outside the volunteer fire department. The building had only been occupied for about 2 weeks when it flooded. VFD President Johanna LaMaster says it took about 2.5 years to raise the money to build the new facility.
It's heartbreaking to think that we had finally reached that goal, and then it's just wiped out in a few minutes.
The water rose into the parking lot, where firefighters who responded to the flood thought their vehicles were safe. 5 personal vehicles were totaled. As soon as word of the flooding spread, Johanna says companies from as far as Morgantown and Wheeling sent help.
The ones that are more heart-wrenching to me, that gets to me, are the ones that suffered their flood loss last year, like the people from Greenbrier County bringing up supplies.
Jason Miller of Wadestown in Monongalia County ended his family vacation early to come to Hundred. He's helping coordinate the volunteer firefighter response, which he says has been overwhelming.
Prime example. Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, drove through the night to be here last night by 9 p.m. because our water service was on the verge of collapsing itself.
State officials have made their way to the flood-hit communities during the past several days, too, including Governor Jim Justice and Senator Joe Manchin. Congressman David McKinley stopped at the VFD in Hundred on Tuesday on his way through the area. He says his main takeaway from seeing the flood damage is that the Federal Emergency Management Agency has to do more for individuals.
There's a culture within FEMA too often. Maybe the bar is set too high to help individuals out. FEMA's got to pay more attention to individuals. Yes, to keep doing their job for municipalities, but look at individuals. The individual families, they're struggling with this.
Back at Laura's Sheer Delight Hair Salon in Mannington, Laura Michael is thinking about what people in her community need the most.
Now the problem is the bugs, the smell, the drying out process, fans, dehumidifiers, lime, bug spray, fresh towels and linens, because people used what they had, I'm sure, to gather up, to wipe off. If you didn't have rags, you used your bath towels.
Laura says that with so many flooded vehicles, there's also a real need for something people in less isolated areas may take for granted: transportation.
We have no taxi services. We have no bus service here at all.
Donated items are being accepted at many churches and schools in the area, including North Marion and Hundred High Schools. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Mannington.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Ann Zalevich. It's 7:50. In the weather forecast for West Virginia, variable cloudiness and quite warm today, with a chance of isolated thunderstorms later this afternoon. Highs today will be in the 80s. Partly cloudy tonight with isolated showers until midnight, lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms mostly during the afternoon or evening hours. Highs tomorrow in the 80s. Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents are available at erieinsurance.com. And support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Cafe Cimino Country Inn, B&B Lodging, Massage Services, and Gourmet Cuisine at lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch, cafecaminocountryinn.com. State officials and first responders in North Central West Virginia are working to tally up the damage caused by flooding in the areas late last week. Major General James Hoyer of the West Virginia National Guard says those estimates include nearly $7 million in damage to roadways, nearly $2 million in damage between five schools, and says that as many as 900 homes could be affected by the time officials finish their survey of the area. Hoyer spoke with Ashton Mara about the Guard's response to the heavy storms and the high water. Hoyer says he requested mobilization of his men and women as soon as the rain began to fall.
We put folks into action early. It spends a little bit of state money up front. If you don't have something that turns out to be a major event, but it's well worth the investment, and the governor mobilized us at the request immediately, and that gave us a head start on things.
Where were the worst hit areas?
So I think if you look at concentration of damage, you've got areas in McMeekin, you've got areas in Mannington, and you've got areas in Hundred in the Wetzel County area. You have significant damage of homes in a couple other counties, but the concentration of damage to the homes and infrastructure were primarily, I think, in those three areas. But, you know, it's important for anybody who hasn't experienced a flood or a disaster of any kind to understand that, you know, you and I talk about, well, where is the most concentration of damage and those things, but if your home was damaged and you're trying to recover now, that's the center of damage for individuals. So, and, you know, the governor made a good point in a couple of our visits this weekend. He said, you know, it's important for us to all understand that we still got people focused on that devastating, epic event we had last June, but it doesn't matter to somebody whose home was damaged over the last couple of days. That's the primary focus. So we, from a state perspective, have to be able to manage all those things together, and making sure we're taking care of people across disaster responses.
In general, you're talking about the floods in June of 2016, floods that kind of centered on southern and south central West Virginia. Can you talk to me about how these two compare in terms of how the Guard responded, or maybe lessons learned that became relevant this time around? Talk to me about those two situations.
So I think the flood in June of 2016 was an epic event. I mean, it was considered to be, I believe, by most accounts, a 1,000-year flood, and it was absolutely devastating to communities, and obviously we had 23 West Virginians who lost their lives and thousands of others impacted. So from that standpoint, it was, I don't know that we can compare the enormity of last year's event to this, but at the individual level, you know, for anybody that's impacted and is cleaning out possessions that they've had for their entire lives and they're now damaged, it's clearly a significant event and a significant emotional event and challenge to any family who is impacted by this kind of event.
General, over the last several weeks, the Guard and the Air National Guard have both been participating in training on site at the Boy Scout Jamboree, and that event is now over. But while I was on site, particularly early last week, your members kept saying to me, this will help prepare us in case something like the flood of 2016 happens again. And here we are, you know, a week later, a week out of that event, and you all had to be called into action. Did you feel prepared for this when it occurred last week?
Yeah, I would say the unfortunate reality of life in the National Guard is we're exceptionally prepared for these types of events because, unfortunately, we do it relatively often. And you know, I will tell you that I had given my folks direction Thursday evening in our staff briefing. I said, look, when we get the last bus out of here on Friday and we get everybody back home safely on Saturday, we got to stop and take a breath. Well, they didn't really get to take a breath. But that's the nature of what these folks do. And yes, the Boy Scout Jamboree event and the two exercises we had with that clearly make us more capable to do both our military mission and our emergency response mission. And, you know, it's great that we can do great things to help the Boy Scouts, that we can build that capability in the state of West Virginia that's going to create unique opportunities for us as a state, and at the same time be prepared to do our other missions.
That was Major General James Hoyer of the West Virginia National Guard speaking with Ashton Mara. Hoyer says guardsmen and women will focus on restoring infrastructure in hard-hit communities over the next several days, including water and sewer lines. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.